Hello, a little word of warning that this podcast contains swears and use of explicit sexual language. Therefore, it is not suitable for anyone under the age of 18 or anyone who thinks a knocking shop is where you go for doorbells. Hello all, and welcome back to Smut Drop. This is your weekly roundup to the more eccentric side of sex and relationships from metro.co.uk. I'm Miranda Kane, and on this week's show, I'll be looking at some more red flags on dates. Oh, I can't get enough of those. Seeing how we can use new relationship energy with Orit Krug, and seeing what our lovely listeners said when I asked them for their open relationship stories. If you like what you hear, then please rate, review, or at least subscribe. And I hope you're ready, because I'm about to raise a flag on your massive poll. Hello, 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 dearest listener. Okay, quick question. What have been some of your biggest red flags on dates? Look, we all know what red flag means, okay? It's those times when someone can do or say something when you're on a date or you're just getting to know them and you just think, nope, no, this is not for me. It's the signal that gets you the hell out of Dodge. Oh my God. Okay, so I think the last red flag that I had, I went on a date with a guy who turned up with a massive backpack and he said, oh, don't mind this. This is just because I'm a bit homeless right now. Oh, smooth talker. He then went on to say, that's not even the bad bit. He then went on to say that his worst date was with a woman who said that she liked to lie in bed still like a corpse. Not the worst bit. No. If you want to do that, my love, you do that. No, the worst bit was when he said, but that still wasn't as bad as the woman who said she had sex for money. Oh, God. And if you're wondering why I stuck around after the first backpack thing, I'd only just ordered my coffee and cake and I wasn't going to sacrifice those. Fortunately for us all, more people have been sharing their big red flag moments over on Reddit and I had to tell you all about it. So one user said he told me I should wear a skirt when we meet in person. And when I said no, he told me that was the reason I was divorced. Because I don't listen to men. Oh, yeah, look, the thread was inundating with the discussion, but most of them are talking about their details of dating men. Don't blame me. Another's date took things a bit too far. So she said, I said rats were cute. And the next day he sent me a video of a cat eating a rat. That's just unhinged. Another, he told me that the devil controlled the internet and that's why he couldn't find proof that Noah's Ark was real. Oh, he was such a lovely person otherwise, but I just could not get past the whole extremely religious thing. Look, there's extremely religious and then there's the devil controls the internet. Another date turned up eager to a casual first meetup, accompanied by a gift bag full of cheap lingerie and fetish toys that he must have bought in some hole-in-the-wall pawn shop. Oh, she said they were only supposed to be meeting for coffee. Oh, there are so many more stories like this. And if you want to hear them, then head to the article Rat Picks and Weird Gifts. People share their biggest first date red flags at metro.co.uk. But obviously not before you have listened to my fabulous chat with this week's guest. Ladies and gentlemen, gays and theys, don't we all love a honeymoon phase? Oh, all those moments when you daydream away at work, the constant checking for texts from a new beau. Oh, we've all been there. But how does a honeymoon phase affect you when you're already in a non-monogamous relationship? Can it affect your other partners? What they're feeling? I am so intrigued. So here to help me is a licensed therapist who, in her own words, went from hating the idea of her husband texting another woman to a loving and stable polyamorous relationship. It's Orit Krug. Hello, Orit.
Hello.
I am so impressed with the hand gesture there that no one can see, but it was like, and thank you for my applause. Okay, this is something that I have never thought about, because I think when people think of a non-monogamous or an open relationship or a polyamorous relationship, that it's all hunky-dory. Haven't we all gotten our cake and managed to eat it? But when it comes to someone getting a new person or and going into the honeymoon phase with other people, like, we don't talk about that, do we?
Yeah, I think it's not as talked about. I mean, I think people see polyamorous relationships as either something that's like, oh my God, that's amazing. You know, you can have your cake and eat it too. Or they're like, that's just a disaster, you know, waiting to happen. Mm. And the truth is, you know, it has its ups and downs. And for me, my number one reason that my husband and I, and also me personally, have done polyamory is just the level of growth and the level of evolving that we've done through this. I've had to work through a lot of issues that I didn't even realize that I had. And a lot of them have come up through the new relationship energy, the NRE, or the honeymoon phase that you've just mentioned. And there's a lot going on in our brains and nervous systems when these things happen, when we experience that infatuation phase, or again, the new relationship energy, it's like our brain is literally acting as if we're taking lots of drugs.
Okay, well, before we start lining up the lines and getting the credit cards out, let's talk about you. I'm always intrigued about how people found themselves in polyamory and what started the journey for you. And you're a relationship therapist. So what came first for you? Was it becoming a therapist, or was it the polyamory? Or was it a joint effort?
So I became a relationship and trauma therapist about 13 years ago, and I'm specifically a dance movement therapist, which is a form of psychotherapy, but more somatic, more moving emotions through the body, working through trauma through the body and through movement. And I've been helping people in general, to especially people who've been in therapy for a long time, who've been talking about their past and they just kind of feel stuck in their bodies. They come to me when they're like, I'm just not getting anywhere in therapy anymore. I know all the things that I need to know in my head, but my body is still numb or disconnected, and I'm not really following through on these healthier patterns in my relationships. So that is relevant to my story, because before I was even able to get into an open relationship, I had to become secure and healthy even in just one relationship, because I just had a lot of trauma growing up and I sabotaged even healthy relationships. And so I became a therapist to help people heal trauma from their bodies so that they can have healthy relationships. And I've had mostly over the years, monogamous clients, some poly clients. And around the same time, I would say that a decade ago when I met my now husband, we talked about being open, not necessarily poly, from the very beginning, as something we just agreed with as an option. But the just talking about it was so triggering. And I was like, is he cheating? So maybe he already wants to see other women, you know? It was very triggering for me. And I'm like, cool, we can table this for a lot later. And then about 2 years ago, I was kind of like, I'm ready. I'm ready to do this. I want to explore. And we started as kind of generally open or ethically non-monogamous. And then I just, you know, caught feelings for everybody. And I'm like, I think I'm poly. I think I just, you know, I want to love multiple people. And I have a lot of room in my heart to give and receive love.
Yeah, that is quite the leap. That is from going from not, you know, from not wanting him to text other people and from feeling those moments of jealousy. And when clients come to you and are in that same position where they're saying, because I feel like we see a lot of people today who are saying, I don't want to be in a relationship. I just want to jump straight into a polyamorous relationship or straight into non-monogamous or an open relationship. Like, do you think they're jumping the gun a bit? Like, maybe figure out how to have a healthy relationship with one person before you try to start having a healthy relationship with loads of people first? Or do you think it's, it, you know, fine, crack on and see what works for you?
Yeah, I'm sure it's different for everybody, right? Yeah, I think some people identify with being poly as an identity that's just a part of them. And some people identify more of it as a lifestyle. So when you ask me when I became poly, how long ago was that? It's almost kind of a complex question because I'm like, maybe this was always who I am, you know? I just wasn't ready for that because I had so much trauma. And I think the answer to your question is what is healthiest for each person? So if you're jumping straight into poly, is that honoring who your authentic self is? Is that the healthiest choice for you? Or is that in service of maybe avoiding something? Because maybe you do thrive with multiple relationships. And that is, you know, not to say that it doesn't have its challenges, but maybe that is most aligned with you. I know personally and from my clients' experiences that polyamory, if we walk that path and we live out those, you know, the things that happen through poly, we're gonna see our shadow, we're gonna see our unresolved trauma. And I think that's more the important question is what do you do when that comes up, when you see your old attachment issues coming up in this new relationship, or when you experience jealousy when your partner starts to date someone else? What do you do with that? Because we can either push it down or push people away or even push ourselves away and disconnect from those feelings that are coming up in our body. Or we can look at it and be like, there's something here and it's really uncomfortable, but how can I move through it?
Okay, well, let's do just that. Let's look at it. The new relationship energy. So if someone's bringing that new relationship energy into a polycule, into their relationship with other people, that's great for them. But when it comes to a partner feeling jealousy, how can they start to handle those emotions?
Oh, I think it's hard. It depends on how much you've experienced it. You know, my husband and I are still, I would consider ourselves quite new. And I've also worked with people who aren't new to it. And it's still a struggle. I think for us to understand the science behind NRE is really helpful. So like I was saying before, it's like taking a lot of drugs. It's having NRE is associated with a neurotransmitter called dopamine. And that's this feel-good pleasure chemical in our brain, our body. And you said something about the lines and getting your credit card. Like, I feel like it could feel like, I've never done cocaine, but I think it could feel like that.
Probably like a little bit of ecstasy, maybe, a little bit of a speed bump.
So dopamine, like that boost in dopamine can really feel like a drug. And the more dopamine that is released, the more we crave it. So it's our bodies and our brains going, I want more, I want more, I want more. And it feels so euphoric. And it's like this amazing natural high. And at the same time, it's also associated with another chemical that a lot of us know is serotonin. And the serotonin is also lowering at the same time. And the neurotransmitter serotonin is associated with feeling content or feeling satisfied. So our brain and our body are going, I want more, I want more, I want more, but it's not enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, I think that could drive a lot of people, like people who are experiencing NRE, could like really make us feel very antsy, like, you know, it's like, I want more, but it's not enough. I'm not getting enough. And so my husband is seeing someone new and he's experiencing NRE and I'm not currently seeing anyone seriously. And we've been together for 10 years. And sometimes the way that he talks about her, like his whole face lights up. And I'm like, I don't know when, you know, your face is lit up with me like that. And it's so hard not to compare.
Yeah.
But I have to remind myself that his chemistry is different with her. And I think that's grounding for me because I can overthink it and I can go down a rabbit hole of how he's not feeling as strongly for me. But that's not even true. It's just he's feeling differently. We have 10 years of showing up for each other every day through the best parts of our lives, the most difficult parts of lives, through having a child, through raising this child, through moving, through doing all this stuff. We have the, you know, the old relationship energy, and it's different. It's a different kind of love and bond. And it's just not even, there's nothing to compare. Even though, of course, we will compare and we may feel insecure about that. But yeah, falling into thoughts of like, wow, my partner is so excited about their partner and I wish they were that excited about me. It's, you know, I think it's normal to have those thoughts and acknowledge that and feel what that's bringing up in you and take that opportunity to work through that. But also know that, yeah, they're on some drugs.
I think that's just a really nice, succinct way of putting it. They're just on drugs. They're just off their tits on dopamine. It's fine. The come down will happen. The rose-tinted glasses exactly. will break. It'll be fine. Is there any kind of practical things that you can do to help ground yourself and to help remember that old druggie's off in the corner just, you know, whacking the needle in his arm? What kind of practical things can people do to help themselves?
Yeah, there's practical things that we can do kind of as regulation techniques, which I can start with. And there's also practical things of what can you do in terms of not necessarily distracting, but filling your own cup.
Yeah.
So in terms of regulating, and I think this is important for people who are experiencing NRE too, because it's an uncomfortable experience to have that yourself, even though it can be so, it's also so great. A lot of people, especially when they've experienced trauma, are in the habit of disconnecting from their bodies because trauma is stored in the body. So naturally we will disconnect from the emotions and sensations that, that triggers bring up because it's kind of a safe, quote unquote, safe, protective thing to do. And so I like to encourage people, my clients and even friends and whoever else, to start befriending your body again, start getting comfortable with what's arising. Because when we are uncomfortable with the sensation in our bodies, like let's say anxiety, however you might feel anxiety, it's like your heart beats really fast or, you know, you just feel really shaky. Most people want to stop that. They want to fix it. They want to push it away. They don't want to feel it, which is understandable. But I like to encourage you to allow yourself to feel that. Because if you acknowledge that, eventually it's going to move and shift into something else. It's going to dissolve, or you're going to discover, you know, if you stick with it, you'll work through it. You'll move through it. And when you feel that jealousy or when you feel the discomfort of NRE, what does that feel like in your body? What you can even put some attributes to it. Like, is there a texture? You know, if you close your eyes and feel into it and see it, is there a texture? Is there speed? Is there size?
What if it feels like wanting to buy a bottle of vodka and text him at 3 o'clock in the morning though?
So I would say that you're already reacting to the sensations in your body when you're doing that.
Okay.
I'm so uncomfortable, I have to go and get a drink and numb myself. or I have to text him because I can't handle these sensations in my body. And so I'm putting it on this person and hoping that they'll change it for me. It's like, I think I really feel after doing this work for so long, and there's so much more that we can dive into the science behind trauma and how it's stored in your body and how it presents itself. But I think it really comes down to a fear of feeling feelings. I'm afraid of feeling this discomfort. I'm afraid of feeling my insecurity. It doesn't feel good in my body. So I'm going to do what I can. I think there's healthy distractions, right? But the example you gave it's not necessarily healthy.
Popular though. People love it.
It's real popular. It's a good choice, popular choice. That's a huge thing that my clients come to me. They're like, I make these unhealthy, regrettable decisions. In response to what I'm feeling, I react. I mean, that's the difference, is reacting versus being in command of your body's responses. When I work with my clients, they go from reacting, like they feel whatever, they feel like a heated energy in their body and they yell, like they have to release it. They go from that to feeling this feeling in their body to being like, okay, I feel it. It's uncomfortable. What do I want to do next? I can ask to take a break. I can just give myself a moment and then be assertive with what I want, which is different from being aggressive. So really, that's why I say just start noticing what sensations are coming up in your body and try to let yourself envision and feel all the parts about it, because then you can start changing it. Like if it's moving really fast, you can start to slow it down, and maybe that works with slowing down your breathing, or maybe that works with certain slow movements, and that looks different for everybody.
And what about you said earlier about filling your own cup. So you can feel your anxiety and you can feel how you're feeling about this, but what about when it comes to nourishing yourself?
Yeah, well, first of all, feeling, befriending your body and listening and giving your body what it needs is a way of nourishing yourself. But if that's there's also other things you can do. You can do things that are practical, things that are supportive to your body. You could take a bath and let yourself float a little bit, or take a warm shower if that's nurturing to you. You can eat a delicious meal, in moderation. There's like, again, it can come back to that question of what can I do to support myself and my body right now? And that's not necessarily always slowing down. I think there's people make a big deal about like slow down and be still. And that's not always what the body needs, because if we're having a lot of energy moving through due to anxiety, like sometimes we also need to, it could go for a walk or put our nervous system in a more active state in order to meet ourselves where we need. So you can go for a walk, you can get together with a friend.
Do you think it's always up to you? Is the person watching your partner go through the honeymoon phase and getting all this NRE, the new relationship energy, is it always up to you to do something, or do you think they should help you in a way?
Yeah. So now I think I was focusing or answering that question more of like, what can you do for yourself? And then of course there's what can we do together? It's not, definitely not always up to everything in a relationship is co-created. And so I think the way to navigate it needs to be a joint effort as well. So for the person who's witnessing your partner experiencing NRE, it's important to speak up about what you're feeling and just be open about it without blaming or without, I think as hard as it might be, without taking away their excitement, because at some point you're going to feel that NRE and you want your partner to be supportive of that too. And it's important for your partner to also recognize that it's going to, it's something that's hard and it's difficult, and to be open to discussing the feelings. And then also you could prepare for that even before that happens, set a weekly date, make sure you have that set, like make sure you have some kind of agreements on what's important for you in a relationship, no matter how swept up you get in another relationship. Like, we have this time together, or we do this thing together that's ours, that's special. and everyone feels different about this. Sometimes people really need that. And sometimes other people are like, that's fine. You know, I took my new, we went here on this date last night. You could take your new partner there too. So it's going to be different for everybody. Everybody has a different window of tolerance for that.
I love what you're saying about NRE in the, because it's not just negative. We can use it as a positive, can't we, in different relationships? So where do we start harnessing all that energy and turning it into a positive?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I guess I'll draw on a personal experience here. When I was experiencing NRE in my last relationship, there was a lot of energy, and I was very hyper-focused on this person. And I think in retrospect, I would have liked to do it differently. You know, I think I really needed reassurance. Like I needed that refilling or the re-up of the drug from that person. Whereas maybe I put more of the things that kind of made me feel excited and happy, I didn't prioritize those things as much, and I more so relied on him to do that for me because he, quote unquote, he was the one creating those feelings. Those feelings of NRE were induced by our connection, but they were happening inside of me. And I wish that I had recognized that there are other things in my life that creates that excitement, because there's other things that we do that increases dopamine, like when we create something new, or when we go for a run, or when we accomplish something at work. And I like abandon all those things. And then, you know, that's me talking about my trauma and my attachment issues that have come up through polyamory. So I think it's important to, like, if you have to write it down, you can do that. But I think it's important to maybe even list all the ways that you feel NRE in your life with other things, whether it's, you know, a project or your business or your primary relationship, if you have one, or going to a spa day with friends. What are the other things? Because I somehow just like forgot all of that while I was on this drug. And it didn't, you know, it wasn't healthy. It did not come to a healthy outcome.
Yeah, it feels like that's the only place where you can get that high, rather than, oh, there's lots of different things that I can do.
Yeah.
And so you are a dancing and movement therapist. So where can we start with that? Like, can that help people? Is there any kind of basic thing that people can do? Because I love giving listeners a little how-to. So maybe there are people out there that are thinking, oh, you know, movement, and like you were saying, like the trauma in your body, what would be where people can start with that when they've had both of these, NRE or heartbreak or thinking about polyamory? Is there any kind of basic movement that people can start doing just to help wake their body up?
I always find it's easier to focus on, you know, a specific example. So when I was just saying to take more space and move a little bit slower, we can literally do that with our bodies. If you're in the midst of NRE and you literally feeling your body like amped up and this urge to move fast, take some time and go in a room or go in some private space. And you can move, you can start with meeting yourself and your body where it's at. Like, you can move that energy, you can move really fast, and then start to gradually slow that down. That's a really tangible physical way of regulating the excitement and the anxiety associated with NRE, to actually literally slow it down and take up, I know people can't see me, but I'm taking up more space. I'm spreading my arms. I'm still feeling that excitement, but I'm more in control or in command of it because I'm slowing it down in my body. If you're feeling jealous or insecure of a partner who is experiencing NRE, you know, I would say to, again, feel what sensations are coming up in your body. If you're feeling, I don't know, if you're feeling a sense of emptiness, for example, what movements does your body naturally want to do to feel full? Does your body naturally want to have you put your hands on your heart or give yourself a self hug or caress your arms? And I think people who maybe not, I know, because this is where the work begins with my clients, when I suggest things like that, or when we start with things like that, it's kind of awkward and uncomfortable. Like, I'm not used to taking care of myself like this. I'm not used to even touching myself this gently or this, like, in this nurturing way. But it makes a huge difference, especially as a start.
Definitely. So people wanted to make a start and they're intrigued about this and they want to start movement. Where can they find you and where can they find all your details?
Yeah. So my website is auritkrug.com. And for people who are also looking for an experience, I am running a polyamory couples retreat in Costa Rica in April of 2024.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it's really, if you're wanting to work through these kinds of issues with your partner or partners, there's some room for throuples. Come check it out. It's on my website.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us on Smut Drop, Aurit Krug.
Thank you.
I have once again delved into the biggest fun bags in Metro to find your stories of open relationships. Has it been a tale of woe or has it been a win for you? Let me know. So fortunately, our first one is Sophie and she emailed. Yes, people do still email. And she said, after a bit of a bad breakup, I decided that I was going to hoe around. One of the men I met explained he was poly, but at the time, I just thought he was using that as an excuse to have a one-night stand. I tried to keep it casual and not catch feelings, but obviously I did, and it was great. He was allowed to have feelings for me and I could keep catching feelings for other people. I'm now part of a solid polycule. Oh, I love that. And now the worst thing about my relationship is keeping the diary schedule straight. I bet there is a lot of spreadsheets. But being able to love so many people and have them love you back has been everything I was looking for. Oh, so tell me more about your polycule, Sophie. If you're in a polycule, if you've got advice about being in a polycule, come on the show. Just email smutdrop@metro.co.uk. Rory on Insta, they DM'd me and said, my boyfriend and I started an open relationship without researching it properly. We spent a year point scoring and breaking each other's hearts. Oh, Rory. When we finally put rules in place, it was a lot smoother, but the initial damage had been done. Set your boundaries out from the start, people. Start with figuring out if you're doing it for you and not just for them. Oh, Rory, that sounds like a hard tale taught, but I love the advice. Thank you so much. Caroline says, it's something I'd love to try, but I'm so worried my partner would leave me for the other woman. Caroline, I suspect you're not alone, but we've got so many great podcasts in the archive that talk about this. One of my favourites is one with a lady called Jolie Hamilton, and I think that's episode 24, and she talks about jealousy and how you can get over it and open relationships and all the steps you can take. It's a really good one. Go and listen to that one if you are interested in starting out on an open relationship, but you're worried that the jealousy monster is going to get you. Next week, I want to hear your weirdest orgasm stories. Has one been particularly memorable, or was there a legendary one that got away? Maybe you're a fan of edging and, you know, stopping your subs from having orgasms. Tell me all about it. My name is That Miranda Kane on Instagram, where you can slide into my DMs, check out my stories, or email smutdrop@metro.co.uk. I've been Miranda Kane. Smut Drop was produced by Pineapple Audio Production for metro.co.uk. If you are enjoying this weekly dive into sordid waters, please leave me a like review, and in the meantime, I'll be back to prick up your ears. But remember, don't do anything I wouldn't do, but if you do, then name it after me.